In the Red, dramatized by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 7, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Stephen Moore, and Stephen Fry.
No, just fill it out and I'll get it down.
Can I have your attention, everybody?
Hang on. I'm going to have to get back to you. All right, yes, I've got your extension.
The Director General has just been fired for replacing Songs of Praise with a show that included hardcore pornography. Max, your piece on the Andrew James murder acquittal drops to second.
Right.
This, to put it mildly, is our lead for the rest of the day.
Well, I'll handle the DG story.
No, Max.
But this is the biggest thing since a fall of Thatcher. Give it to an old pro.
I think I'd like a young pro, if that's all right by you, Max.
Can I just say, Caroline, in fact, can I just tell the whole of this newsroom? I was working for the BBC before most of you were born.
Yeah, what? John, just keep right on top of the DG's dismissal. Get hold of his obituary. You must have one prepared somewhere, and run all of it except the bit about him being dead.
Right.
Apparently other sackings are imminent. The controller of BBC One's next.
Right.
Caroline, I'm really sorry. I can explain everything.
I'm busy, George. Go into my office and wait.
Okay. Morning, Max.
Morning, Maggie.
Now, have we got an update from the Reform Party conference?
Robin Oakley's doing it. I'll let you know when he's up.
Right. I'll see you all later. Private business now. George, follow me.
Yes, ma'am.
Looks like George is for the chop.
If they sack him, young man.
I know, Max. They sack a star.
You're sacked, George. Hmm? That's what I'm telling you.
But I can explain.
No, you can't explain. You were the chief prosecution witness, George.
But
everybody's eyes were on you. The nation's eyes were on you, George. And you turned up in court, late, drunk, and abusive.
But with good reason.
You told the prosecuting counsel he looked a Burke in his wig.
No. I told him he looked a Pratt.
You vomited all over the clerk of court's shoes.
Did I?
The whole thing was a disgrace.
So you're cross, are you?
Of course I'm cross. If Andrew James had been the murderer, he'd have walked free.
But he isn't the murderer, is he? That's the whole point. That's why I got drunk. I couldn't face giving evidence against a man I felt in my waters to be innocent.
And do you think it was right to be so drunk you couldn't file a report on the latest murders?
For the first time in 30 years, I was too inebriated to do a report.
I'm sorry, George, but you've betrayed the BBC and you've betrayed me personally. I'm really sorry to have to say this. But it's over. You're fired.
What about 6 months in policy and planning? And then I'll come back.
It's too late for that.
A month's trial as head of personnel?
This is goodbye, George.
All right, letters of apology. Even to that prat of a barrister.
Ah. Right. I can see you've got no choice. Well, one thing's for sure. It was damn good while it lasted.
Conference. Tonight in the Dome Theatre there'll be a satirical review entitled Four Elections and a Funeral. We now move on.
CP? Yes. Will you come outside a minute? Why?
Henry?
What is it, Henry? I was having a nap.
CP, right. You know the way reform conference motions go on for 6 pages and make 46 contradictory demands that
are totally unintelligible?
Yes. Yes. Well, I've got a conference motion here that doesn't. It makes perfect sense. You better read it.
This conference has no confidence in the leadership of Geoffrey Crichton Potter and demands his immediate resignation, but... Well, damn it, that...
You've got to go, CP.
But dash it all. Henry, I mean, admittedly we lost our deposit in a by-election.
The trouble is, this whole episode has raised more questions about your entire leadership style.
What's wrong with my leadership style?
You haven't got any. Now, put it this way, CP. Leadership from the front is one thing. Leadership from the Savoy is another.
Oh, Henry, what are we going to do?
Well, either we just give up, or we get up and fight.
That's the spirit.
We offer them a new dynamic approach.
Oh, do we?
What I've got to do, CP, is write you the best speech of your life. Now, I suggest you get back to that party conference and start garnering support.
Oh, Henry, must I?
CP, either you garner, or you're a goner.
That's very good, Henry. Put that in the speech.
Right, how about I stand before this conference?
Good so far, yes.
Poor, naked, but unashamed.
Naked?
Yes.
I think I'd better go and do some garnering.
Sorry I'm late, Charles.
Quick, Martin. It's time for the news.
Oh, jolly D. Shall I turn it on?
Controller, Radio 2?
Any comment on the DG's resignation?
I'm sorry, but I'm in a meeting with my counterpart from 4. We're both too upset to talk. Switch it on!
BBC News at 1 o'clock. The headlines. The Director General of the BBC has resigned.
Yippee!
Andrew James, the man cleared in the bank manager murder trial, has been speaking about his feelings towards the police.
Get on with it,
and
woman!
And it's a lively morning at the Reform Party conference. But first, the Director General of the BBC has resigned in what's been seen as the gravest crisis in the corporation's history.
Yes!
The resignation, which was demanded at an emergency meeting of the BBC governors, follows a Sunday evening television programme called Oh Jesus, which provoked an unprecedented level of protests across the country. The controller of BBC One, Mr. Jim Wilkes, has also resigned.
Charles, we've done it! We've got rid of the Director General!
We have indeed! hello?
You swine! You vicious little public school snide!
Is there by any chance the ex-controller of BBC One?
You got me sacked, you slimeball!
But my dear Jim, the show was all your idea. You had your, your finger on the pulse of public opinion. How is your grasp of anatomy, by the way?
I can find my bum with both hands, don't you worry.
Yes, I've always suspected that that was the criterion for working in the television service.
You've done me up like a kipper.
Look at it this way, Jim. You're a chap who grew up on the street. Well, now here's a chance to visit old familiar haunts.
I'll fix you, my son. You sold me that obscene show knowing it would cost me my job.
Wrong, Jim. It wasn't your job we were after.
What? You mean it was the Director General?
Oh, how bright you are.
You wait till I finish with you. I'll have your knees for maracas and your knackers for castanets.
Yes, I can see why they gave you BBC One. Bye, Jim.
Now, Charles, there must be no unseemly triumphalism.
Absolutely not. Champagne?
Yes.
Mr. Andrew James described the police handling of his case as fascistic and symbolic of neo-nostalgic Thatcherism. Mr. James also declared his ambition to be a rock star.
Baby, you and me, let's be! Baby, you and me, let's be! In the red!
Mr. Andrew James, who's been cleared of the bank manager murders. And now back to Gordon Clough at the World at One.
Thanks, everyone.
I'm bursting for the loo, sorry.
Very good piece on Andrew James, Max.
Yeah, well, you know me.
Yes, I do. George wrote it, didn't he?
You shouldn't have sacked him, Caroline.
I had no choice. You know, when I first arrived, George called me a talentless tart.
That's a compliment coming from George.
The fact is, the newsroom's better off without him.
Well, I'll miss him. It's the end of an era.
Talentless tart. Jumped up, over-promoted, talentless tart.
She did have a point, though, George.
She sacked me. Me. Not as if I live my life in a pub. Whose round is it, by the way?
Yours.
Same again, Bill.
When you charged into the Old Bailey, George, you were out of your skull.
I was in a moral dilemma, Frank. I knew Andrew James wasn't the killer, but you wanted to get a conviction.
Well, it's not going to be my problem for much longer. The assistant commissioner's given me 24 hours or I'm off the case. I've dropped a bit of a clanger with this one, George.
Killers make fools of both of us.
We're a pair of old fools, George.
In a world full of talentless tarts.
And pubs with microwave pasties. This is horrible.
So is the music. What am I going to do, Frank?
Look through any window. Come, talk about a golden oldie.
I'll have to become director of action on alcohol abuse. Hold on. What do you say?
This song's a golden oldie like us.
Look through any window. That was
1968, wasn't it?
Jeremy Inchcape, Barclays Bank, St. James's Park. Look through any window. Through any window was on the note left by the killer.
Well, it's probably just a coincidence.
Excuse me, Bill. Is this a CD?
Yeah.
Have you got a case for it?
I'll have a look.
It's probably the Hollies' greatest hits.
So what are you saying? The bank manager murderer likes the Hollies. Cool.
There you go.
Now, let's look at what's on it. Look through any window. Stop, stop, stop.
Stop. Didn't the note on Max's car say stop, stop, stop?
On a carousel?
On a carousel to hell was the Anderson note at the House of Commons.
I'm alive, King Midas in reverse. Yeah. I'm sorry, Suzanne, Gasoline Alley.
Every one of the murderer's notes contained one of these song titles.
I told you there was a clue in the notes.
But I don't understand, George. What's it mean?
I've been out there garnering support like nobody.
Yes, you don't seem to have been very successful. I've done some arithmetic. If we lock some of the delegates in the loos and some of them get stuck in lifts...
Yes.
...and some of them mysteriously lose their voting cards...
Mm.
...and some of them accidentally vote the wrong way, which, knowing this lot, they will...
Excellent, excellent.
...that way, we only lose by a majority of 3-1.
Oh, dear.
So I'm sorry, you know, you cannot go back to London for a dinner.
But it's not just any dinner, Henry. It's the Governor of the Bank of England's dinner at the Mansion House. I simply must be there.
No, you simply must be here to woo the party delegates.
Can't I do that in tomorrow's speech? Ah, splendid.
Hi, CP.
Letitia, perhaps you can help Henry write the best speech of his career.
Of course I'll help Henry. If you don't think I'll be a distraction, Henry...
No.
Dictate the speech on that tape thingy, then call the press office to pick it up.
But CP...
I'll be back after dinner, I promise.
Any indication who's going to be our new Director General, Charles?
Well, I believe the tide is running strongly in favour of a candidate wholly untainted by the recent debacle. A candidate who understands the fundamental values of public service broadcasting. A candidate, Martin... from radio.
Have names been mentioned? Names such as Charles?
Well, one mustn't be too pushy. One must be statesmanlike, even aloof.
And steely.
Of course. One mustn't be afraid to take tough decisions.
In collaboration, of course, with one's deputy.
Yes, of course.
One will need one's deputy, won't one, Charles?
I certainly feel the details of the BBC management structure will require some lengthy consideration, yes.
You are making me your deputy, aren't you, Charles?
Dear Martin, I shall find you a position which is wholly commensurate with your aptitudes and abilities.
You swine!
And may I say, I'll be looking for originality.
You cunning, conniving slimeball.
And as I was already called that earlier this morning, Martin, it rather looks as if you've talked your way out of the job.
But, George, don't you realise these songs put Andrew James back in the frame?
Can he be back in the frame? Frank, get it clear once and for all. The murderer is not Andrew James.
George!
Oh, howdy, old-timer.
George... What can I say?
How about it's my round?
No, sorry, no, I can't stay. I just popped in to commiserate with George.
Where are you going?
I've got to attend a dinner at the Mansion House. The Governor of the Bank of England's going to be there.
Ooh.
Would you believe?
The biggest bank manager of them all.
Well, I'll miss you, George. You and me. We're the last of the old pros.
Yes, I know.
It's the end of an era. Look, I'd better go or I'll start crying again. bye.
Bye, Max.
George?
Big softy. He's only got to lose a pen top and he's inconsolable.
George, you just called the Governor of the Bank of England the biggest bank manager of them all?
Yeah, so?
What did the killer say to you one of the times when he phoned about the big one or something?
I'm not ready for the big one yet.
What if he is ready now? What if he was talking about the Governor of the Bank of England?
Blimey.
Eh?
Max, wait for us!
Right, I think CP should say something like this.
Henry, I'm bored. What are you doing tonight?
I'm dictating this speech into the cassette player.
Why?
Well, so the press office can come and pick it up later.
No, I mean, why bother? It's obvious CP's going to lose the leadership, and it's all so boring.
Letitia, the future of his job is at stake. The future of my job's at stake.
Wouldn't you rather be doing something else? Why don't we call room service for some champagne and check out the jacuzzi?
Please, Letitia, I've got to get this speech written and dictated. CP's depending on me.
In that case, why isn't he here working on it with you instead of hobnobbing with the Governor of the Bank of England?
Letitia, please.
Oh, God, Henry, you are the limit!
Right, where was I? I believe I've acted fairly. I think I've acted wisely. I've tried to act honourably. Now, let us now forget our differences and come together.
Yes, let's.
Letitia, go away.
Well, what can I do?
Just stand by to make an arrest. Leave it to me.
Mansion House, my career.
All right.
Well, thank God you're sober anyway. We don't want a repeat performance of the trial.
I am bold, bloody, and resolute.
Yeah, oh, I'll get you this.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a list of all the Hollies hits. You know?
The key to these murders is in the song titles, Frank. I love Jennifer Eccles. Bust Up. I know it's one of these.
Yeah. I just hope we're not barking up the wrong tree.
Let's see what happens, shall we? Just make sure you're in the vicinity.
Mr. Geoffrey Crichton Potter.
Geoffrey.
Governor, how are you? How's the,
Bank of England.
Yes, there's the chatter.
I've known easier times, Geoffrey. To be blunt, we're positively in the red, old boy. In the red with a vengeance. Now, do you know Geoffrey, Dominic?
Yes.
Oh, Geoffrey, my brother Dominic.
How do you do?
I invite Geoffrey every year, not for his insight into economics, rather for his knowledge of gastronomy.
Clearly a man who puts his knowledge to good effect.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my brother's saying you're a little fat, Geoffrey.
So, Carstairs, any new faces?
Yes, but I fear we're missing some old ones. Remember that stockbroker chap, Oswald Nicholas? Managed even more of the roast sea bass than you did.
Good Lord, yes. Wasn't he a victim of that bank manager murderer fellow?
Yes.
As was Peter.
Peter Anderson was our guest speaker last year. Made a remarkably intelligent speech for an MP.
He did have some help, Carstairs.
Yes. Nothing like a good speechwriter, eh, Geoffrey?
What? Are you suggesting my speeches are written before me,
Carstairs?
I, Geoffrey Crichton Potter, am proud to be a leader.
No. Right.
I, Geoffrey Crichton Potter, stand. Oh, God, it's taken me 3 hours to write 10 words.
I'm still here, Henry.
Yeah, go away. I can't concentrate with you there.
Because you feel for me what I feel for you.
Oh. Hello? Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I need another hour. Yes. Yeah, no, I have a speech recorded on tape. Yeah, you can pick it up from a hotel room. I'm recording it now. I say to this confidence, give me your conference. No. Oh, God, it's the most important speech of my life, and I'm too tired.
Henry?
Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
So, what do you do, Dominic?
As little as possible. I'm currently writing my modest little volumes of economic analysis, sad little messages in sad little bottles.
Mr. George Craig.
You don't look sad, Dominic.
I say, who's that coming over?
Carstairs, old copper. How's the party going? Don't tell me how Mr. Danson goes.
Do I know you?
Carstairs, I believe this is George Craig, the BBC's crime reporter.
You've probably heard of me.
I haven't, I'm afraid.
Oh? Jonathan Aitken.
Haven't you been covering the bank manager murders?
In one, my old son. And I'm here in place of Max Parker.
This guest speaker?
What?
Max Parker is this year's guest speaker.
He told me he was covering the dinner as a journalist. He never mentioned a speech. Hello?
Shh.
Good God.
He's tired out.
I just need the tape.
The what?
Oh, here it is. Crichton Potter's speech for tomorrow.
Oh.
Thanks. Sorry, always been a noisy eater.
Really, this is intolerable.
You can't be too careful, Carstairs. That soup could have a pound in it.
Don't mention the pound.
What?
This is a publicly reported dinner given by me as the bank's governor. It is imperative that you make no mention of the pound. Think of the market. Think of the consequences.
I wonder if there's something in your claret. Nope. Wasn't a pound in that.
What are you playing at, man?
I'll tell you when I've finished my toad in the hole.
Speak Wellington. Now look, Mr. Craig, it's a tradition that on these occasions the guest speech is made before the pudding. There's a little time for digestion. So, if you feel at all able...
You mean I'm on?
Yes. I implore you to be responsible. You're about to address some of our nation's leading financiers.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, to be invited to address you tonight is a pleasure, a privilege, and bloody inconvenient.
Oh, good. I love irony.
Still, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Clarence Carstairs.
Get no joke. Sorry. Here, pop it up with my napkin. Where was I? Yes. Now, some of you may be wondering why I'm here.
It's beginning to cross our minds.
The fact is, I'm here to arrest the bank manager murderer. And I believe it's his plan this evening to kill the governor of the Bank of England.
Kill me?
All these weeks, I've racked my brains. Was the killer an impoverished songwriter in Soho? Was he a man embittered by the money values he saw all around him?
Sit down, you idiot.
Was it a man who hoped to make some kind of political capital out of the killings?
I say, are you looking at me?
Or was it a man who...
Was it a man who... This is a funny thing to write on a napkin. He ain't Tavvy, he's my brother. He's my brother.
So it was you. You're the killer. You're the bank manager murderer.
Dominic!
Sorry, Carstairs. It looks like your brother was going to kill you. What was for pudding?
Death by chocolate.
Need I say more?
Get out, Mr. Diaz.
Get your hands off me!
Stick the cuffs on him, boys.
Sir.
Dominic Diaz.
Hold on, Frank. Hold on. I'm going to say it.
Say what?
Dominic Diaz.
Yes?
You nicked me, old mate.
Now, Mr. Diaz, you were telling us about the bank manager murders.
Was I? Mm.
Perhaps you'd like to tell us what you know.
Have you ever read The ABC Murders by Agatha Christie, Chief Inspector?
I haven't, no.
It contains a blindingly brilliant proposition. If you wish to commit one murder and get away with it, best way is to commit several murders.
To convey the impression of a serial killer, a psychopath?
Exactly.
So the bank managers...
No, this was never anything to do with bank managers, or stockbrokers, or all the evils of monetarism.
You mean you don't hate bank managers?
Not at all.
And the pound coins, and you use pound coins in a number of your murders.
To suggest an obsessive. Make you think you were after a nutcase.
When your intention all along was to murder your brother, Sir Carstairs, Governor of the Bank of England.
I put a lethal poison in the death by chocolate. My illustrious brother has such a sweet tooth.
Ah. And what was your motive, Mr. Diaz? Jealousy?
Such a beautifully pure motive, don't you think? You see, I've always hated my brother very deeply. In spite of my obvious superiorities, he has always obtained preferment.
You made a number of calls to George Craig.
Ah, there perhaps my arrogance got the better of me, as eventually did George Craig, but I wanted you to think that I was mad, you see.
Mm.
You see, I wanted you all to think that you were trying to find a maniac, you see. And it's such a brilliant idea, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Henry's about to start it.
Right. I wish I could remember writing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you, fresh from his triumphant part in the capture of the bank manager murderer.
Yes! I don't believe it.
Yes.
We could end up beating this no-confidence motion after all.
I give you the great leader of this great party.
Yes.
Geoffrey Crichton Potter.
Yes. Yes.
My fellow reformers, I want to begin by asking you a question. Are we content to remain prating, pontificating, and parading our social consciences on the sidelines of British politics? I, for one, am not.
I remember right in that bit.
I stand before you, naked and unashamed. I'm fed up with looking at it. I'm sick of thinking about it. I want to get my hands on it, and I want it now.
Oh, my God. Oh, the tapes.
I don't want to fantasize about it. I want to do it, and I want to do it with you. Yes! Comrades, yes! Will you marry me?
The Bank Manager Murderer, a news and current affairs special by George Cragg, replaced our advertised programme. And now over to Gemma White in the newsroom.
We've just heard that the new Director General of the BBC is to be Mr. George Cragg.
Bloody hell!
Caroline, darling.
George, I mean DG. Congratulations.
You may be interested to know, I've just abolished the personnel directorate. No more disciplinaries for anyone in the BBC.
And I suppose you're going to abolish me as well.
Absolutely. You're no longer editor of Radio News.
I see. Well?
I want you to be my director of news and current affairs.
You do?
Yeah. All said, you have the makings of a fine journalist. Someone who's just a talentless tart.
Thank you.
Look at my hands. Yeah, wonderful stuff. Mind if I drink from the bottle?
Not at all.
Come down the newsroom. We're having a...
Oh, I'd love to, George. But are you all right? George. Come on, get
up. Yes. I'm okay. Yeah, what do you know, Caroline? I think I've just invented the rolling news service.
In the Red was dramatised by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 7 starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Peter Woodthorpe, Stephen Moore, Stephen Fry, John Berg, Benjamin Whitrow, Susie Brand, Victoria Carling, Julian Reintutt, Ian McNeice, Peter Serafinowicz, Alice Arnold and Geoffrey Whitehead. And also featured Paul Shearer and Tim Hope. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Red is script edited by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.